News from the center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. In Colorado, eight people are recovering after what police call a targeted attack on a Jewish group gathering in support of freeing hostages in Gaza. Police say the suspect used a makeshift flamethrower into the crowd and that the suspect allegedly yelled "Free Palestine" during that attack. Boulder police stopping short of calling the attack terrorism. The FBI is calling it that. ABC News contributor and former FBI agent Brad Garrett says the definition of a terror attack could apply.
I think the simplistic term, it's a hate crime. I'm not sure why the Boulder police are not calling it that, but this looks like a case that I'm going to guess the FBI will probably take the lead.
Two victims remain in critical condition. Lawmakers back on Capitol Hill. The Senate scheduled to begin debate on the sweeping reconciliation package already passed by the House. And in New York, Sean Diddy Combs' former personal assistant returned to the witness stand today at the former music mogul's sex trafficking trial. This is ABC News.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulotz. Healthcare costs in Wisconsin are among the highest in the country. Wisconsin employers are voicing their concerns. Melissa Kay has the story.
Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce surveyed businesses in the state, and 88% of employers predict their healthcare costs will increase even more this year. Scott Manley is WMC's Executive Vice President of Government Relations. He stated, "These costs are not only a competitive disadvantage as they dip into employee compensation, investment opportunities, and more, but they also hurt Wisconsin families." When asked what state government could do to help businesses, 41% of respondents answered, make healthcare more affordable. Wisconsin's healthcare costs are among the fifth highest in the nation.
A group of bills designed to protect the LGBTQ community in Wisconsin is before the legislature. Lisa Hale reports.
The Legislative LGBTQ Plus Caucus introduced the 2025 Equality Agenda Bill package in Madison Thursday. The package includes four bills that provide equity and protections for LGBTQ Plus community in Wisconsin and two joint resolutions that designate June 2025 as Pride Month and remove marriage restrictions from Wisconsin's Constitution. One bill would remove gay and trans panic defense from Wisconsin courts. Representative Ryan Spouty of Ashwaubenon.
Claiming that somebody panicked because another person was gay or trans, it treats our community as inherently dangerous, which is profoundly discriminatory. And it's baseless.
The Legislative LGBTQ Plus Caucus's goal is to draft and advance legislation that addresses the unique barriers that the community continues to confront on a daily basis.
For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulotz.
On to Cincinnati. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, the Brewers at Great American Ballpark tonight to open a three-game set against the Cincinnati Reds, the crew coming off a 5-2 win over the Phillies yesterday to complete the sweep, but they lost designated hitter Christian Yelich. Hit by a pitch from the Phillies left-hander, Ranger Suarez, in the first inning.
Yeah, he got me pretty good. I hit the knob a little bit, just crushed the bottom of my hand also, so it is what it is. That stuff happens, but swelled up and made it tough to grip the bat. And, you know, it's your bottom hand, so. You don't have that. It's not strong enough, so made it tough.
X-rays after the game were negative. In golf, Maya Stark of Sweden, the winner of the Women's U.S. Open at Erin Hills in Wisconsin. She says she reached out to her coach at the start of the week for some last-minute pointers.
You know, I had my coach here this week, and I texted him a couple of things, and I said, what do I do if my putting feels like this? And he just nailed the advice this week.
That's golfer Maya Stark. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
More of that smoky haze in the sky today. Otherwise, partly cloudy and warm with a high in the mid-80s this afternoon. Tonight, partly cloudy with temperatures dropping into the low to mid-60s. Tomorrow night, showers and thunderstorms with some locally heavy rain. Highs tomorrow in the mid to upper 70s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 74.
Day one, the hardest day. The day you hear,
this is a type of blood cancer.
But day one is just one day. At the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, we are here to help you move past day one.
On day 45, I discovered an online community who shared great tips for in-treatment care.
I missed a lot of school during treatment, and LLS helped me keep up.
To learn more and get help on day 2, day 28, or any day, please visit LLS.org or call 1-800-955-4572.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
The Trump administration arresting and deporting these supposed gang members without giving them due process is one of the steps to becoming an authoritarian government.
Dale, thank you so much for the call. And again, I second all of that. Bring them all back and afford them the due process that's a part of our nation, a part of this law, and a part of our tradition in administering justice.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome back comedian singer Rob Perivonian and Milwaukee-based actor Rob Martin, and I talk about our favorite movie gangsters. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. This is News from the Center, WRCE.
Is the Tom Hartman Program.
So remember 2008? Well, here's what happened. Back in 1990, I forget the year. I think it was six. It might have been 1999. Phil Gramm, a Republican senator, was considered kind of a banking wonk. He was on the banking committee. He was, you know, he claimed knowledge of all things banking, but he was a Republican, so he was into deregulation. And he looked back at Glass-Steagall, which was passed in 1935, as I recall, which basically said investment banks and checkbook banks, what are called commercial banks, banks where you have checking and savings accounts, may not be the same thing. You may not take a person who has put money in your bank, you may not take that money and then gamble it in the marketplace, basically. And so, you know, if you want to put your money in a bank that gambles in the marketplace, go with an investment bank, you know, Fidelity or Charles Schwab or something. If you want to go with a bank that, Goldman Sachs or whatever, you want to go with a bank that does banking, checking accounts, savings accounts, go with, you know, Wells Fargo or your local bank or whatever it may be, Bank of America, Chase. Well, Phil Gramm argued it before Congress, and I thought this was hysterical at the time. There, a lot of us were just ridiculing it. But Phil Gramm basically said, you know, this works so well that the last time we had a run on the banks was 1933. I mean, we haven't had a run on the banks since then. So we don't need this anymore. So Congress, in all their brilliant wisdom, or at least the Republicans in Congress, got together and basically deregulated the banks. Said, sure, you can go back into gambling if you want. And, of course, you know, a lot of the banks went into real estate gambling, and in 2008, that market, you know, got the plug pulled on it. And George W. Bush was president, and you'll remember the Secretary of the Treasury coming out, you know, with his hands trembling as he was reading the one. I have a one-page thing that I want to send to Congress to beg them for trillions of dollars to give to the banksters. And, of course, that's what they did. I mean, you know, they didn't, you know, people like, you know, Steve Mnuchin, the foreclosure king, had apparently robo-signed some 30,000 mortgage eviction notices. I mean, you know, just kicking people out of their homes who couldn't make their payments on these so-called liar loans that had come about as the result of the deregulation. And the liar loans had been aggregated and sold, you know, as bundles, as bundles that were a new investment vehicle. Right, new investment opportunities, and that the banks were buying into, it crashed the whole system. It was a disaster. So what did we do in 2009 when President Obama came into office? he re-regulated the banks. He said, you know, we're going to go back, not quite as vigorously as prior to the 1990s, but you know, made some substantial regulations on the banks, the main one being what are called reserve requirements. Reserve requirements are how much money a bank has to keep in cash just in case a whole bunch of people decide that they want their money all at once as a result of some, you know, big economic event. You know, for example, you go into a serious recession. In 2008, of course, it was a housing crisis, but, you know, you go into a serious recession, a lot of people lose their jobs. And because they've lost their jobs, they still need to make their mortgage payments. They still need to make their credit card payments, but they don't have the money. And so they just basically go to the bank and say, you know, I need all my money out of my savings account right now. And, you know, I'll even take the penalty on cashing in my CDs. And at that point, the bank, you know, looks around and says, well, we don't have all that money. Sorry. And then you've got a real disaster. And that's, you know, to some extent, that's what happened in 2008. That's certainly what happened in the late 1920s, early 1930s. And in fact, the month before Franklin Roosevelt took office, which would have been February of 1933, the last banks in America failed. I mean, by the first week of his presidency, there was not a functioning bank left in America, or a very, very small handful of them, and they were very small and local. So anyhow, we raised the capital requirements, the reserve requirements on the banks, and said, you know, you're going to have to keep a little more cash in the bank for these kind of runs on the bank. So that if this sort of thing happens again, we're not going to end up with Hank Paulson or his modern-day equivalent. He was Bush's Treasury Secretary. You're not going to, you know, end up with this guy, you know, standing before a podium, you know, with his hands trembling on a piece of paper begging Congress for trillions of dollars. So that's kind of the backstory. And here we are now, according to Politico's Michael Stratford. The second Trump administration is, quote, gearing up to deliver a major win to Wall Street banks by easing rules imposed on mega banks in response to the 2008 financial crisis. Yeah. Stratford reports in Politico, quote, Trump-appointed regulators are nearing completion of a proposal that would relax rules on how much of a capital cushion the nation's largest banks must have to absorb potential losses and remain solvent during periods of economic stress. These new standards could be released in the coming months, and they could represent the largest policy win for the banking industry since the 2008 global financial meltdown. Isn't it funny? You know, win for the banking industry and global financial meltdown in the same sentence. Pramila Jayapal tweeted, after the Great Recession, which caused millions of jobs and destroyed countless lives, our government put regulations in place to make sure it never happened again. Now Trump is getting rid of those rules? What could possibly go wrong? Yeah. Stephen Halloran, he's a MAGA critic over on X. He says, what's the worst that can happen? Asking for the people back in 2007. And another ex-user, Jarmo Leighton, says, we all remember what happened last time they cut regulations. Yeah. Yeah. Meanwhile, Donald Trump wants more political control over doctors and scientists. This is wild. Senior officials, this is from The Guardian, a piece by Aaron Glantz. Senior officials of the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs have ordered that VA physicians and scientists not publish in medical journals and not speak with the public without first seeking clearance from political appointees loyal to Donald Trump. Right. Kurt Kashauer is the VA's Assistant Secretary for Public and Intergovernmental Affairs, and John Bartram is a senior advisor to VA Secretary Doug Collins. And they laid down the rules in a series of emails hours after the prestigious, again, quoting from the Guardian, the prestigious New England Journal of Medicine published a perspective co-authored by two pulmonologists who work for the VA in Texas. That article warned that canceled contracts, layoffs, and a planned staff reduction of 80,000 employees Trump wants to rip 80,000 people out of the Veterans Administration. It's the nation's largest integrated health care system. Quote, jeopardizes the health of a million veterans seeking help for conditions linked to toxic exposure, ranging from Vietnam veterans exposed to Agent Orange to veterans of Iraq and Afghanistan. That would include, you know, Bo Biden, Joe Biden's son, who developed cancer after being exposed to smoke from piles of burning toxic waste. The article produced an immediate rebuke, Aaron Glantz writes for The Guardian, an immediate rebuke from Trump's political appointees. Yes, they're not happy. How dare you call out politicization of the scientists at the VA? Still, he writes, VA workers and veterans advocates say Friday's warnings fit a pattern of censorship by the Trump administration, which critics say is waging a war on science. Since taking office, Trump administration officials have canceled billions of dollars in grants funding medical research at the National Institutes of Health, the National Science Foundation. Nearly 2,000 leading scientists, including dozens of Nobel Prize winners, signed an open letter back in April saying science was being, quote, decimated by cuts to research and a growing, quote, climate of fear that put independent research at risk. On May 28th, Bob Kennedy said he was considering banning government scientists from publishing in the New England Journal of Medicine, The Lancet, or the Journal of the American Medical Association. Why? Well, those are real science publications. We want to publish these in crackpot publications, don't you know? You know, the Department of Veterans Affairs has been actually, for most people don't realize, for decades, I mean, since World War II, basically, one of the main agencies that conducts medical research in the United States. In fact, VA scientists have about $1 billion annual research budget. They have 102 different research sites all around the country. They're involved in 7,300 ongoing research projects. And last year, they published more than 10,000 papers in peer-reviewed scientific journals. I mean, it was VA scientists who invented the nicotine patch. It was VA scientists who invented the heart pacemaker. It was VA scientists who developed the CT scan. The computerized tomography, you know, the X-ray that can look at you from multiple directions. The agency runs the National Center for Post-Traumatic Stress Disorder, which has pioneered mental health treatments. Harold Kudler, a psychiatrist and researcher who served as the top health policy guy at the Veterans Administration, says that what the Trump administration is engaged in is, quote, another attack on freedom of speech. He said veterans will suffer because of it, plus all research programs will take note. This is a real disaster of significant proportions. Trump, veterans, nah. He just calls them suckers and losers. All he wants is his military parade for his birthday. We'll be right back.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
This is going to undermine the credibility of public institutions, stifle innovation, leave veterans and the broader public vulnerable to decisions based on politics instead of science. This is a mess.
Statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Are you over 50 and constantly feeling tired, bloated, or just a little off? Don't ignore it. Those could be signs that your liver is crying for help. As we age, our liver, which is essential for metabolism, digestion, immunity, and detoxification, needs extra support and protection. If neglected, it can leave you feeling sluggish and constantly off your game. That's where Active Liver from New Nordic comes in. Available in easy-to-take tablets or delicious gummies, Active Liver combines powerful natural ingredients like turmeric, milk thistle, and globe artichoke extract to help support healthy liver function. With Active Liver, you're giving your body an essential daily defense against toxins from alcohol, fatty foods, and sweets, helping you reclaim your energy, improve digestion, lose the bloat, and strengthen your immunity so you can look and feel your best again. Protect your liver and give it the support that it deserves by making Active Liver from New Nordic part of your daily wellness routine. Find Active Liver in stores at your local CVS, Meijer Grocery, or online at Amazon or newnordicusa.com.
It's June Dairy Month, and though more than 5 million people call Wisconsin home, we share our estate with close to 1.5 million cows. Those beautiful animals. Okay, I grew up on a dairy farm outside of Green Bay. They've been here since before we became a state. Can you answer this? Most of our cow's milk currently makes which product? Is it butter, cheese, or ice cream? The answer coming up. Wisconsin's first official milk plant, 1894 in the Waupun area of Fond du Lac County. Fast forward more than 120 years, now farmer-owned with a second location in the Outagamie County village of Black Creek, the Saputo plant is even featured on History Channel's Modern Marvels for its award-winning cheesemaking. So did you guess? Most of her cow's milk, 90% of it currently makes cheese. Gouda for you. Celebrating our dairy farmers with this slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
This is for people who watched me anchoring the news at Channel 13. My last day at TV 13 was 20 years ago yesterday.
Oh, I'm old now, too.
Well, yeah, that was my whole point.
And I was, too, when you stopped working at TV.
That's what I get all the time now is people come up and they go, oh, were you on TV? I'm like, yeah. And then I go, don't say it. I watched you when I was a little kid. I'm like, yikes.
Catch Mornings with Pat Kreitlow at its new time, weekdays 6 to 9 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
Every year, millions of pets go missing, leaving families heartbroken. If you lose or find a pet, Love Lost is here to help. Our free, easy-to-use platform uses photo matching technology across multiple media platforms to bring lost pets home. Just upload a photo and quickly search the largest national lost and found pet database. Let's unite to reunite, because every lost pet deserves to find their way home. Register today at lovelost.com.
Matt Nair on air.
Congressman Mark Pocan is here. Are you planning on going out on the road again, having a couple more town halls?
Yes. No, Claire, Derek and I have been invited by Opportunity Wisconsin, so I'm really looking forward to debating Derek. My guess is it's more likely I will sprout a head full of hair than he will show up. This is important to let people know what's in this bill, because there is a very good reason why Republicans are hiding from town halls.
Catch Matt Nair on air at its new time, weekday mornings 9 to 11. On Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
Small businesses are the heart of America. As the nation's largest nonprofit resource of expert business mentoring, SCORE has helped millions of entrepreneurs build their businesses for free. Find a mentor today at score.org.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Change starts with you. You can be calling your Democratic or Republican representatives to let them know what you think by calling 202-224-3121. It's the Capitol switchboard. It'll get you right through to them. So tell me the truth. How many different beauty potions do you have sitting on your bathroom counter right now, eh? Well, if it's more than just Vibrian Super C Serum, listen up. The ingredients in this one bottle can replace your day creams, eye creams, night creams, neck creams, wrinkle creams, and dark spot reducers. Made in the USA with the highest quality ingredients, including vitamin C, hyaluronic acid, vitamin B5, and vitamin E, Super C Serum delivers noticeable results. Simplify your skincare routine, get a healthier complexion, and minimize wrinkles and age spots with Vibrance. And if you don't find it better than your current skincare routine, you'll get a full refund. Just go to Vibrance.com/Tom to save up to 37% off and get free shipping. That's Vibrance, it's spelled V-I-B-R-I-A-N-C-E, Vibrance.com/Tom. And that slash Tom, T-H-O-M at the end, is the key to 37% off and free shipping. Vibrance.com/Tom.
Trump and the GOP.
Welcome back, 23 minutes past the hour. Picking up your calls here, Larry in Hazel Green, Alabama. Hey, Larry, what's on your mind today?
Hey, good morning. Hey, I was talking to our daughter, and she is going to be protesting on June 14th. And I suggested that to honor Donald Trump on his birthday, to go home afterwards and have a backyard barbecue and barbecue a cut of meat known as a pork butt. And you know, the pork butt, if you cook it to about 200 degrees, it becomes very tender. You can pull it off with a fork. It's called pulled pork in the South. It'll be on the menu at any roadside barbecue. Mm-hmm. You take the pulled pork, pile it on a bun with your barbecue sauce. It's highly regarded. Mm-hmm. But for this occasion, I would suggest pile it into a tortilla, because I can't think of a better way to honor Donald J. Trump on his birthday than to bite into a pork butt taco.
Yeah. I have a feeling there's going to be a lot of taco costumes and taco references and taco signs coming on June 14th. I mean, you know, it's still 2 weeks away, and so we'll see if the meme still holds, if it continues to go viral. But Larry, thank you. That was a good one.
It's your job to find a solution for you vegetarians and pescatarians.
Jackfruit is just like pulled pork, actually. It's very similar, so that would work. Larry, thank you. Irene in Saugerties, New York. Am I saying that right?
You got it right, Tom, yeah.
Hey, what's up?
It's Irene in Saugerties. Talking about the USAID issue, you know, mm-hmm. Coincidentally, I received an email this morning from Michael Tyler Cohen, Substack, and he talks about money. He talks about Musk and money. And the first agency that Cohen talks about is USAID. And he makes it clear that, you know, it was only a tiny percent of the budget.
Right.
And it was gutted because USAID was investigating Starlink.
Oh, that's true, too.
That's true. And then he went after the Consumer Protection, the Consumer Federal Protection Bureau, because it was looking at about 300 complaints about Tesla.
Mm-hmm.
My point is that, you know, Musk is a money grabber. It's about money for him. Okay.
So you think it's all, you don't think it's race. You think it's that he was shutting down the agencies that were, because there were apparently 34 different investigations into him that have all been shut down now, if my recollection is correct.
Yeah, I think you're roughly correct. I can't recall the exact number, but I think it's about money. I think race is there because he's a racist. But I think that, you know, let's ask ourselves, why has he not shut down the Pentagon? Because he made $22 billion or something rather in military contracts.
Right, and he wants more. He wants to be the contractor for the Golden Dome. Irene, thank you. That's very thoughtful. I think you're probably right. Thank you so much. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 202-808-9925.
Should have included that little factoid in my op-ed today. Oh, well. We'll be back with more of your calls on the other side of the break. Stay with us.
Statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Are you over 50 and constantly feeling tired, bloated, or just a little off? Don't ignore it. Those could be signs that your liver is crying for help. As we age, our liver, which is essential for metabolism, digestion, immunity, and detoxification, needs extra support and protection. If neglected, it can leave you feeling sluggish and constantly off your game. That's where Active Liver from New Nordic comes in. Available in easy-to-take tablets or delicious gummies, Active Liver combines powerful natural ingredients like turmeric, milk thistle, and globe artichoke extract to help support healthy liver function. With Active Liver, you're giving your body an essential daily defense against toxins from alcohol, fatty foods, and sweets, helping you reclaim your energy, improve digestion, lose the bloat, and strengthen your immunity so you can look and feel your best again. Protect your liver and give it the support that it deserves by making Active Liver from New Nordic part of your daily wellness routine. Find Active Liver in stores at your local CVS, Meijer Grocery, or online at Amazon or NewNordicUSA.com.
Do you have a car sitting around you want to get rid of? Then here's a great idea. Donate your car and help veterans and their families. Yes, one fast call to the Veteran Car Donation Program and we'll come and remove your car for free. Fast, free towing, and 24-hour response. You can donate most cars, trucks, or SUVs in most conditions. The proceeds raised goes to help active military, veterans, and their families, and you get a tax deduction. All you need to do is make this free call. Get rid of that old car and help the vets. We make it easy. Make this free call now and book your fast and easy pickup. Call the Veteran Donation Program now. Donate your car and help veterans and their families. Operators are standing by. Here's the number.
800-884-9018. 800-884-9018. 800-884-9018. That's 800-884-9018.
The food industry is constantly looking for new innovations to better produce for consumers. A recent advancement includes making egg whites without the chickens. I'm Stephanie Hoff, along with you from the Midwest Farm Report. Wisconsin native Chris Landowski is the co-founder for Onega Bio. He says they can work around the bird flu by brewing egg whites using cornstarch as one of the ingredients. He says that's why Wisconsin was a good location for their new plant.
We are looking at a lot of different parameters, or a lot of different things. Where can we find a great place that is kind of supportive of the facilities that we need? So for instance, we are very dependent on corn sugar. So that was one of the large things where we could find a great supply of corn and corn sugar based product, and also the talented workforce that is needed from the biotech side, but also from the food manufacturing side, since Wisconsin has a very strong history of food manufacturing. So we have all of those talented potential employees available to us in the state of Wisconsin.
Chris Landowski, along with us, co-founder of Onega Bio, working on a new factory in Jefferson. He says their egg white alternative is meant to be used as an ingredient for other foods like snack cakes. Stick around. We're going to take a look at how commodity prices are doing midday on a Monday next. The Classic Green Reunion comes to Wisconsin June 12th through the 14th in West Bend. This year's event showcases Model B and industrial tractors, Waterloo Boy engines, and even drills. Come for the tractors and equipment and stay for the tours, vendors, camaraderie, and a good old-fashioned Wisconsin fish fry. To see event details or to register for tours, visit classicgreen.org. The Classic Green Reunion, June 12th through the 14th in West Bend. See you there.
There goes Pam Yonke across Wisconsin in her suburban truck. Thanks to Equity Livestock Cooperative, marketing your livestock, financing your operation, and supporting the livestock community since 1922. And to Cleary Building Corp. Cleary Building Corp. Built with pride before the shamrock is applied. Explore clearybuilding.com today. Keep up with Pam at MidwestFarmReport.com and on Facebook and Instagram.
Monday from Chicago, cash corn is up a quarter of a cent. December new crop corn also up a quarter at 438 and three quarters. Cash soybeans are trading 4.5 cents lower. November new crop beans down 6.25 at 1020 and a half. July new crop wheat is up 9.25 cents at 543 and a quarter. Class 3 milk contracts are seeing a rally. The July contract up 28 cents at 1982 a hundredweight. The August contract up 16 cents at 1968. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
More of that smoky haze in the sky today, otherwise partly cloudy and warm with a high in the mid-80s this afternoon. Tonight, partly cloudy with temperatures dropping into the low to mid-60s. Tomorrow night, showers and thunderstorms with some locally heavy rain. Highs tomorrow in the mid to upper 70s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 77.
At National Geographic Society, we believe in the power of wonder. It drives us to explore, pushes us to see the world differently, moves us to action. And we believe that today, wonder is more essential than ever.
Wow.
That's why we're supporting a new generation of explorers to ask big questions, make breakthroughs, and bring the future closer. Wonder awaits. Will you join us? Visit natgeo.org/wonder.
Our daily song is now available on Spotify, Apple Music, Amazon Music, YouTube Music, Pandora, Tidal, Deezer, iHeartRadio, and a whole bunch of other platforms. Just look for songs by Louise and Tom Hartman. Check it out.
Lately, it seems like the wall between church and state is under full-scale attack. In Texas, lawmakers want to post the Ten Commandments in public school classrooms and give school boards power to approve prayer sessions and Bible readings. At the federal level, a new bill just passed the House that removes Medicaid coverage for gender-affirming care, not just for youth, but everyone. And the Supreme Court, they're about to hear a case that could let religious charter schools access public funding, completely blurring the line between church and state. This sounds extreme. That's because it is. The Freedom From Religion Foundation has been pushing back since 1978. They're on the front lines defending the Constitution, making sure public funds, public schools, and public policy stay secular. If you believe in facts over faith-based legislation, now is the time to act. Go to ffrf.us/freedom or text my last name, Hartman, with two N's to 511-511. And become a member today. So join us and go to ffrf.us/freedom or text Hartman to 511-511. Text fees may apply.
Crying in the cold. A mother holds her daughter. Her hands tired and old. The promise of a nation carved deep in stone. It's cracking like we're losing a home. The soul of America is breaking apart. We're losing the thread that once tied every heart. But the light's not gone, it still burns bright. We stand together, we can make it right. They're rewriting.
Welcome back, 36 minutes past the hour. Picking up your calls here, George in Cripple Creek, Virginia. Hey, George, what's on your mind today?
Hey, Tom, how did you like Operation Spiderweb over the weekend?
Wasn't that amazing? For people who don't know what we're talking about, you want to give a brief summary of it, George?
Yeah, right. You know, the Ukrainians using trucks and hundreds of cheap drones took out about 40 Russian strategic bombers, which is about a third of their bomber force, and also destroyed an Ilyushin 76, which is like their AWACS command and control. You know, there are only a few of those, and the Ukrainians took out one of those earlier. You know, I checked the Izvestia and Pravda and TASS this morning, mm-hmm. and there's hardly any mention at all of this.
It's rather an embarrassment.
The only reference I found was an article about the collapse of the peace talks in Istanbul, and the Russians are claiming that President Zelensky and Western intelligence agencies planned this a year and a half in advance, and they're claiming it's a terrorist attack, and Ukrainian saboteurs figured out a way to take out about a third of their strategic bomber force without using missiles.
Mm. Yeah, which it was not.
Yeah, exactly right. Yeah. Cheap drone, probably cost the Ukrainians a couple of million bucks, and they cause about several billion bucks worth of damage to the Russian strategic bomber force.
Yeah, plus they've taken out a couple of their ships, too, the Moskova and a few others. I mean, the damage.
And also, over the weekend, Ukrainian saboteurs inside Russia destroyed several trains carrying military supplies. So the Ukrainians are really getting on the ball.
Yeah. Yeah. You wonder if this is the beginning of a larger and longer offensive or if they just, burned through everything they had. I don't know.
Yeah, I figure they've got more of such operations up their sleeve.
I suspect you're right. Although it's probably going to be a little harder to pull them off now that...
They'll probably... this is a gigantic humiliation for Putin. He's got to come up with something or he'll probably find himself falling out of a high-rise window.
Yeah. I'm wondering, when the French and German weaponry is going to arrive and start being used, because they're talking about, throwing that deep into Russia, too.
Yeah, last week, German Chancellor Merz removed all restrictions of using the German-supplied Taurus cruise missile to hit targets deep inside Russia.
Yeah, Yeah, this could be a major game changer. Fascinating stuff. George, thank you so much. You always bring the news. I truly appreciate it.
Yeah, I enjoy it. It keeps up my Russian language ability. And just seeing what the Russians are saying, like almost nary a word.
Yeah. No surprise there. George, thank you. Jeff in Santa Fe, New Mexico. Hey, Jeff, thanks for listening to KTRC. What's up?
Yeah. Hi, Tom. Thanks. I love your show. I'm all for taunting Trump and teasing him and getting under his skin, finding ways to, get to him. But, and the taco thing is kind of hilarious, but I think that it's probably not a good idea in terms of, taunting somebody that's that pathologically disposed and psychologically unhinged. And I try to imagine a situation like, say, the Cuban Missile Crisis. You know, and if Trump were in an analogous situation in a war game or in a, economically suicidal policy, and he decided to counter the taco nickname and say, well, I'm going to show him I'm not a chicken. You know, I'm going to go right through with this suicidal thing and destroy the world or something, some portion of it.
Yeah.
So anyway, just in that sense, I'm not behind it.
Your comment, the predicate of your comment or the context or whatever the right word is of your comment assumes that people are using the taco slur, for lack of a better word, to bother, irritate, humiliate, to get under the skin of Donald Trump. And certainly it's doing that.
Uh-huh.
But I think that the larger point is that one of the single most effective ways to reduce the power of a dictator and to break the hold that a dictator has over his cult members is ridicule. And so I would argue that the whole taco thing is directed toward his followers, not toward him. And in that context, the more that we can do to ridicule him, the better, because it weakens his hold over his followers. What say you?
I agree. I agree we need to ridicule him. I'm just not so sure that, him being being thought of as a chicken is ideal ridicule. But then I'm repeating myself.
Do you have an alternative?
I keep thinking, I call him Agent Orange.
Yeah, well, people ridicule his mushroom and the size of his hands and stuff like that, too.
Yeah, yeah.
But the taco thing seems to really get it.
Yeah, but anyway, we've got to keep looking, and certainly you do have an impact on somebody like that when you take away their power. You can laugh at them and tease them, and I'm all
it.
For that.
I get your point.
Just keep... Okay, thank you so much, Tom.
Sure.
Take care.
Good talking to you. Thank you. Gabe in Pacerville, California. Hey, Gabe, what's up?
Tom, how are you doing? Great to be back on your show once again. Hey, you're completely spot on your commentary about Elon Musk and his motivations for reducing USAID and his connections from being with South Africa, and how it has something to do with this chip on his shoulder about him and his family having to flee South Africa, quote unquote.
Apparently, he fed Trump all that white genocide nonsense, and then tried to reprogram Grok to regurgitate that nonsense too.
Exactly. Yeah, and it just highlights one thing, and it's the normalization of white supremacy. And white genocide was a white nationalist bogus theory that until Trump came along, it was easily dismissed. And now, with the help of Elon Musk and other people like Tucker Carlson, who've kind of put it into the mainstream, and now it's become a national immigration policy of letting these Afrikaners in to come into the country, and then this farcical spectacle of having the president of South Africa come into the White House and make him look as if he was stupid by presenting all these ridiculous doctored photos saying that this is going on in your country when it's really going on in the Congo, and it was just nonsense, and it was just an insult to their intelligence. And that's what Trump's all about when it comes to black people. He says that they're stupid, and this was just another attempt to do so.
Yeah.
You know, I was on your show not too long ago, and I revealed that I'm a birthright citizen born to two parents from two different countries, and my father is from South Africa. Mm-hmm. My father left South Africa in the 1960s because he did not want to raise a family, excuse me, under apartheid, and came to this country. He really loved this country. He lived the immigrant stream of becoming very successful, but he realized there's a lot of problems within this country, and one of the big ones was racism. And it's always been a major issue in this country, and now it's just completely come to the forefront, and it's become normalized, just like I said.
Yeah.
And the thing is, it's going to get worse, and using South Africa is a way to really put it out in the forefront. And what of a better place than South Africa to push this issue and normalize white supremacy by doing the things he's done. But like I said, it's going to get worse, and it's going to be happening more in this country. The more and more we see deconstruction DEI programs and so forth, the more and more I think we're going to be going back in time and seeing things such as segregation becoming put into place again.
Yeah.
I mean, one of the things that stopped, that really deconstructed segregation was the intervention of the federal government. But now that's all gone.
The Trump administration has basically said, you know, those anti-segregation laws, you can largely ignore those. Gabe, thank you. Spot on. 45 minutes, almost 46 minutes past the hour. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Tom Hartman. Visit TomHartman.com for audio and video archives.
It's your media support group for We the People. Right back with your calls. If you're a homeowner, you need to listen to this. In today's AI and cyber world, scammers are stealing home titles, and your equity is the target. Here's how it works. Criminals forge your signature on one document, use a fake notary stamp, pay a small fee to your county, and just like that, your home title has been transferred out of your name. Then they take out loans using your equity or even sell your property, and you won't even know it's happened till you get a collection or foreclosure notice. So when's the last time you checked on your home's title? If your answer is never, you need to do something about it right now. And that's why I've partnered with Home Title Lock, so you can find out today if you're already a victim. Go to HomeTitleLock.com/Tom, T-H-O-M, and you get a free title history report and a free trial of their $1 million triple lock protection. That's 24/7 monitoring of your title, urgent alerts to any changes, and if fraud does happen, they'll spend up to $1 million to fix it. Protect yourself like I did. Don't be a victim. Protect your equity today. Go to HomeTitleLock.com/Tom, T-H-O-M. That's HomeTitleLock.com/Tom.
Summer. It's time for Civic Media's Scotty Summer Text to Win contest right here on this local Civic Media radio station. We want to hook you up with $100 cash, Milwaukee Brewers club level tickets, and the chance to win a summer getaway to the Wisconsin Dells area or an escape to Door County. Download the free Civic Media app in the Google Play or App Store. Then listen in for the keywords during the 7 and 11 a.m. hour and 2 and 4 p.m. hour. Text in the keyword and get set to win. It's Civic Media's Scotty Summer.
Medicare loses about $60 billion annually to fraud, errors, and abuse. June 2nd through the 8th is Medicare Fraud Prevention Week, focusing on the actions everyone can take to prevent, detect, and report Medicare fraud. Learn more by liking and following Wisconsin Senior Medicare Patrol on Facebook. Then visit our website, smpwi.org. For information and advice, remember, Wisconsin Senior Medicare Patrol.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. In discussions over the so-called Big Beautiful Bill, backed by Donald Trump, that's making its way through Congress, none other than Wisconsin Senator Ron Johnson has emerged as the most prominent Republican critic of the bill, saying at a recent Milwaukee Press Club event that it is, quote, not even close to adequate. Johnson has said he wants spending cuts to go even further, including making cuts to Medicaid. But Johnson's position as a critic of this bill makes him especially influential in these negotiations. But let's not forget the last time he was in a
similar position. In 2017, he was a critic of the Trump tax cut bill, but what he fought for was a tax break for certain types of businesses, perhaps not coincidentally, businesses owned by his largest donors, Dick and Liz Uline. In 2018 alone, the Ulines received more than $200 million in tax breaks because of this bill. So as the Big Beautiful Bill is negotiated in the Senate, let's not forget this piece of recent history.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Michael Negron of the Small Business Majority.
You know, the Trump administration thinks that they're doing a solid for small business with their policies. And so having business owners out there talking about how, whether it's tariffs, whether it's potential cuts to health care, how it's going to hurt their bottom line, how it's going to hurt their consumers or their employees, I do think that will have a real impact. Every time he does something, he gets really bad feedback and he retreats in the face of it.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons, 4 until 6 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
Matt Miller, Milwaukee-based film critic. The film Sinners, the more distance I have from it, the more I liked it. Is that an Oscar film?
I think there is a love for what Sinners is doing, that a studio movie was this interesting and creative and thoughtful, but also entertaining. This is not the last you will hear about Sinners this year. I'd be shocked if it doesn't get a Best Picture nomination.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Hey, thanks so much for sharing our program and for reaching out to our stations and sponsors and letting them know that you're listening. It really means a lot to us.
They came in through the back door, no badge, no name, no oath, just billionaires in boardrooms writing laws for both. They say it's for the people to streamline and revive. But the Department of Government Efficiency is a lie. They gutted every watchdog, rewrote every rule. The fox is in the hen house, and he's building up a school for loyalists and hackers with Putin on the line. Now whistleblowers vanish, and the rest just toe the line. Alive, front for the billionaires reaching for the sky. They stole the soul of labor with a keystroke and a smile. Now they're watching from the shadows. They rigged the die.
Right now, Reverend Barber, our friend of this program, he's been on our program many, many times, is speaking in front of the Capitol building against Trump's big, brutal bill. People are speaking out. So what's on your mind? Jackie in Richmond, Virginia. Hey, Jackie, what's up?
Hi, Tom. How are you?
I'm fine. What's on your mind, Jackie?
Let me get in, please.
Thank you.
I am a long-time retired federal worker,
mm-hmm.
and very, very long listener to your program. But this is the first time I've called.
Well, thank
you. And I just want you to know, that Tom, I greatly respect you for your knowledge and your genius, and for being such a beacon of hope.
Well, thank you.
No, there's no but, Tom. No but.
Okay.
But, Tom, this is probably redundancy, but why do you think that it is that now, that Elon has been exposed as a polydrug-using, destructive agent of Trump, who had, and who has left the government? He had no idea what he was doing, and he's left the government in a shambles, and thousands without jobs, my daughter being one from the VOA.
Mm-hmm.
Why is it that nothing is being done except for the stalled cases in court? And what can be done? What will be done? The media discusses it like it's conversations of the whole Trump mess, as if it's too much to go into separately. I just wonder, what are folks who did nothing wrong and who had excellent standing on their job supposed to do without an income?
Yeah.
They devoted many years to their job, and they have, these jobs are difficult to match in the private sector.
Right.
And they are, these people, these, a lot of my young people, my daughter's 40, they are depressed and desperate. And it just seems like they are forgotten.
Yeah.
They're mentioned in passing. And it's just so, so unfair.
And government jobs have always been viewed as you know, the safe thing. I mean, you get a government job and then, you know, based on thinking that you've got a safe future, you know, with a solid income, you go out and buy a house and you buy a car and you go into debt, you know, on the assumption that you're going to get that regular monthly paycheck and you'll be able to pay it all off. And then you lose that government job.
And you don't have
job.
To worry about it. That's,
right.
You don't have to worry about that.
Right. And then you lose that government job and what's available to you. You can work at Starbucks or the Amazon warehouse and you don't get anything close to the pay or the benefits. And suddenly you're looking at homelessness. I mean,
that's right.
Several hundred thousand so far.
Yeah, and it's like, go out and get you a job.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
You know, I wondered what your thoughts were. It's just
keeping
me alive.
Yeah, there's been a war on federal workers since the Reagan administration. You know, Reagan famously said, you know, the government is the cause of our problems, and by implication, it's the government workers. Government workers have always, you know, been a cheap shot, you know, for Republicans, and conservatives in the media, and so the consequence of that is that it's hard to garner, support, empathy for government workers because they've been so villainized, which I think is just a tragedy because, you know, our government provides really essential services and most government workers are hard workers, they're committed workers, in many cases, particularly the ones in the higher, you know, higher levels of education. They can make a lot more money in the private sector than in the government sector, but they believe in serving their country. And even the people who are doing well in the government sector, you know, who might have had a little more of a struggle in the private sector, they're doing well serving their country. And, Russell Vogt, back when he was talking, you know, when he was writing Project 2025, he said, we want to make it so that government workers wake up in the morning hating to go to work. We want them to think of themselves as evil, as the bad guys. And that's what they're doing.
Yeah.
That's absolutely what they're doing, Jackie.
So cool.
And it's criminal. It's wrong.
Yeah. One thing I think they found out is not only people living in the North who have the good government jobs. They found out that a lot of people in the South also suffering from having lost their government jobs.
They're all over the country.
Thank you,
Jackie. And I hope that they're registered to vote. I really do. Jackie, thank you for the call. We'll be right back. We're hitting the top of the hour. Stick around.
You're listening to Tom Hartman.
You trust your deodorant? Most deodorants just don't work for us working guys. But then Mando rolled into town, ready to tackle all-over odors before they even start. Mando created high-performance deodorants for whole-body odor control. Safe for your pits, packages, and feet, Mando's science-based formula is pH-optimized, capable of blocking odors before they start. Deodorants you're used to using just mask odors or neutralize them after they form, but Mando is powered by mandelic acid, clinically proven to work all day long. Developed by doctors, it's hypoallergenic and skin-safe for your sensitive parts. You can use Mando all over and leave your odor worries behind. Give Mando a go and see why guys are loving it. If it's not for you, they'll gladly refund you within 60 days. Smell better longer with Mando. Get 20% off site-wide on your first Mando purchase with the code TOM, T-H-O-M, at shopmando.com. Plus, shipping is always free. That's 20% off site-wide for first-time customers with the code TOM at shopmando.com.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
The Trump administration arresting and deporting these supposed gang members without giving them due process is one of the steps to becoming an authoritarian government.
Dale, thank you so much for the call. And again, I second all of that. Bring them all back and afford them the due process that's a part of our nation, a part of this law, and a part of our tradition in administering justice.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. The Todd Albaugh Show.
Positive psychology coach Kira Sabin, it is great to have you back.
I love the idea of self-help, but there's also something called community help. We have become so divided, we've forgotten that our neighbor is really nice and makes great cookies and probably yes. has the same concerns on a daily basis that you do. I think that we think things have changed, and I think we just have stopped talking to each other.
Catch The Todd Albaugh Show at its new time, weekdays 2 to 4 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app. This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. The suspect in the Boulder, Colorado flamethrower attack is due in court this afternoon. Court papers show federal authorities have filed federal hate crime charges against Mohammed Sabri Solomon for allegedly attacking people at a rally showing support for Hamas-held hostages in Gaza. 8 were injured, 2 remain in critical condition. ABC's Alex Stone is in Boulder.
They were at his Colorado Springs home overnight. That is about 2 hours away from here. They were going through evidence there, trying to piece together what led Solomon allegedly here to Boulder and where he got this makeshift flamethrower that was allegedly used.
In Gaza, witnesses accuse Israeli forces of opening fire at a food distribution center. The Hamas-run health ministry says at least 31 were killed. The IDF denies its troops fired. Senate lawmakers taking up the massive budget bill this week, narrowly passed by the House. Many GOP senators and Democrats, though, opposing those sweeping cuts. This is ABC News.